gonna be late now. It's 8:32 on the clock, so we will call to order the Gage County Board of Equalization meeting for Wednesday, February 15, 2017 at, like I said, 8:32 on the clock. The Open Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Byers, and Thiemann. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the agenda as presented.
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. Want to switch Gary's there just a minute. 6-0 in favor. I entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the minutes of the previous meeting.
I would move to approve the minutes of the previous meeting.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. We'll get to Patty in a minute. We do have a public hearing here. We entertain a motion to open a public hearing to, for the Blue Valley Behavioral Health Incorporated for a vehicle.
I would move to open the public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Hill. Vote at 8:33 on the clock. 6-0 in favor. And this is a vehicle from Blue Valley Behavioral Health Incorporated, 2017 Ford, four-door sedan. The tax would have been $340 and a fee of $20 for $360, so that's to waive that fee. So, and I don't see anybody here from Blue Valley. Anybody else want to comment or have a question? If not, I entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
I move to close. To close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman at 8:34 on the clock. Vote. 6-0 in favor.
I would move to approve the exemption for a qualifying nonprofit organization, Blue Valley Behavioral Health Incorporated.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Bauman to approve the exemption for their vehicle and would have been $360. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove the tax correction slip number one. John has that right now, so if everybody saw it or not, I know it went that way.
The amount would be in addition to the tax roll of 1775.94.
Basically, that was a lady that passed away before the date, and it was an estate, and we just found out she passed away. So she died before August 15th of last year. So it goes back on the tax rolls.
So it goes back on then, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a homestead exemption before, so then because of that.
Yeah, you have to live between January 1st and August 15th every year.
Of that year to get that exemption. Learning more about that all the time and stuff. So, yeah, like Matt said, it's for $1,775.94 that will go back on the tax rolls then. So any other questions? Otherwise, entertain a motion to approve, or did we have that already? Nope.
Make a motion to approve exemption or addition.
Yep. You do.
We do already for this?
No, not in that one. Sorry.
Not in this one. Yeah, that's what I thought. Motion by Bauman. Yeah. Need a second?
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers to approve the tax correction slip. I don't know what number it is. It's for the 2016 year.
Number one.
Okay, for the 2016 year. And it's an addition back on because of no longer qualifying for the homestead exemption. Vote, 6-0 in favor. Okay, Patty.
Okay, basically I'm going to talk a little bit today about how we're doing our valuations, and I brought Daryl down. I think some of the problems that everybody we need clarified is that basically, when I sent out valuation notices last year for 16, that would have been May 31st. As the assessor, between January 1st and March 19th, well, we actually start working on them way before that. Between January 1st and March 19th is the time frame when Daryl and I and all my staff start working on valuations. So basically what I gave you is this one residential sheet here that will tell you the date range that I look at of those sales. And if you look at the top, under qualified, it'll say the date range is from 10-1 of 2013 to 9-30 of 2015. That's this one right here.
Okay.
Okay, that's the one, that's the time frame I look at the sales of all the this is a residential one, because that's what we're getting the calls on, and I think Denny had some concerns. And mm-hmm. So, basically, then you go down over to the assessor's location, which is over on the left, and you will see that I have everything, and we have everything in what we call neighborhoods or subclasses. So, Adams is the first town that I have on there. We had 25 sales, and my median level of value, not the average, but the median level of value when you array it on the scale, and I think Myron and I talked about that.
Yeah.
You don't take all the sales ratios and add them together and divide it. It's a median. And so we had 25 sales, and we were sitting at 97.69, which means I'm in the acceptable range on residential, because residential is 92 to 100. Now, what Turk looks at, and Ruth Sorensen will be the first one that will look at this, which is the tax commissioner, the tax administrator, they do a book called Reports and Opinions. This is the book that they write on all 93 counties after we've put our values into place. So, as you see, last year, I didn't really need to do anything with Adams. That doesn't mean we don't go in and spot check and say, okay, we can query down further. Is there some that are overvalued, some that are undervalued? Yes, that's always going to be the case with mass appraisal. But I didn't need to do anything with Adams last year. Now, Beatrice has been the main concern, and you can see that they had 366 sales, and they're still sitting at 96.28, and that's in that two-year time frame. So I don't really... We didn't really need to do anything with Beatrice either. Now, there again, that doesn't mean we don't query further down to see what's going on, and I'll let Daryl talk to that a little bit. Because but this is the time frame of what's out there now that you're paying taxes on when you got your tax statement in December. Okay. Now, going forward then, this long sheet will tell you my neighborhood numbers in Beatrice. And your neighborhood number of 10, I had 22 sales. As you see on the first neighborhood, I'm actually at 111.57. So what they sold for and what I've got them valued at, I'm overvalued on neighborhood number 10 right now. Or I could be, you know. We kind of have to just narrow things down. The main neighborhood in Beatrice, as you go down to number 30, I have 147 sales. I'm at 98.17.
About what area is the number 30 from? Just north?
Oh, that would be like Danny's neighborhood. It would be kind of central Beatrice.
Okay.
You know, when I talk neighborhood, it doesn't mean right next to each other. Morton Acres could be the same neighborhood number as Belvedere out here.
Oh, okay.
We look at subdivisions that are older, but those are subdivisions that have the likable homes.
Similar homes, then.
Right.
That's more a neighborhood than a location.
So not next door, necessarily.
Okay.
It's what we have as far as, you know, similar. Morton Acres is older, Belvedere's older, but you got same kind of type of sales analysis and so forth. One other thing, you know, like Country Club out here would be different. That would be a different. Wildwood, of course, would be very different. One thing about any of these homes, when we're talking about valuation, remember it's the market. Some of these homes I know have been built for a lot more money than what I'm able to value them at. We've been beat at Turk on that back in the day because it's what in Beatrice we can sell a home for. And that becomes very hard for someone to understand. Because, you know, at one point years ago, a $300,000 sale was about the top. Now we're starting to see stuff move up. But what they're built for could be much more than what we were able to assess them for. So that's kind of where we are on that. But I just kind of wanted to put that to rest because if you look at all these different neighborhoods, you know, Beatrice is not, now it's rebounding. but I know, especially when the bond issue came about on the school district of Beatrice, people called a lot about, you know, people's houses. And I had one particular gentleman who was part of the school district out there. He paid less than what I had the house valued at. So I have the house valued at $282. He paid $262 in 2013. So I'm overvalued, but he did not come in and protest and hasn't for 3 years. But, you know, those are things that you can call and verify with my office. And I talked to Terry a little bit the other day about Beatrice, you know, because I don't want anybody to feel like ag part has been strong, but it's been strong pretty much just on the land. I'm not saying that we haven't. We've had to bump acreages. Acreages are another hot. You know, people want out on that 3 or 4 acres. But So I'm just kind of talking about that because I know Denny's had some sales in his neighborhood, and Daryl can talk a little bit because Denny had a question for Daryl about why can't we just go in when they sell
and put that value in.
I wish I could. It works for me. That'd be the perfect, but then you've got to...
I found out the state somehow made a law that we can't do that.
Not the state, yeah.
And I'll let Daryl talk a little bit about that. When something sells, I can't go in and just... Because I cannot treat the sold and the unsold properties differently. So in other words, if you sell your house and you've got the house right next door to you, I can't put yours on it, what you paid for it, without touching the one next door, because they're similar houses.
But in the inherent problem, though, is you can use that in the calculation to raise the entire valuation. Like in ag land, you get so many sales, and it drives a valuation, but you can't tax that person. If someone pays too much for that property, it ought to be 100%. Whatever you paid for that, it's easy to figure out that ought to be. So you can't use it to tax that person, but then the sale of that land raises everybody else's up.
Hey, no, we can't close the door. Sir, you got to leave the door open. Sorry. No, you got to leave the door open. Yeah, we got to have the door open. Yep. No, I know. We may have to ask them to move if they get too loud. So, yep.
And I'll let Daryl kind of... the thing with any of those ag sales, too, we have like approximately 70 of them in there. And we, you know, we have to look at all those. It gets a little more complex with ag because you got irrigated, dry, and you know, grass, and we have to, and I didn't raise them as high as what, you know, hopefully there was some in there that were about right on, some that were lower and some that were higher, but if you want to have any questions for Daryl, you want to talk about any of what we're doing.
Introduce yourself, just who you are, and then at the mic, yeah.
Okay. I'm Daryl Standard with Standard Appraisal. We're hired by the county. Are you folks to work with the valuations within the county? I would like to jump into, Matt had brought up, and Denny had brought up, questions about if something sells for that, why can't we just put that dollar amount on it and go with it? Well, the state frowns on it extremely. They will come in and they will audit the assessor's office if they do this. If you're going to chase after these sales, now they will, and I've had them do it to me in different areas. They'll say, I've gone out and picked up decks and air conditioning and some added on an addition and porches, and they go, well, now wait a minute. You can't just raise those. Have you done the whole neighborhood or the whole town? And I go, no, we didn't. And then you can't do this. State statute says you have to treat everybody equally. You got to go out there and address everything in that neighborhood. So that's, you know, it'd be nice if you, not nice, but it could happen. California does it, and that's why they have some serious problems. They get a sale, boom, that's what the assessment is. But the guy next door to him has got the same thing, and he's still at maybe $80,000, and the other one's at $400,000. So, but that's part of the... And in your list, though, as you look at these neighborhoods, we do search after these, but any of them that are no more than 10 sales within a neighborhood, the state says there's not a good study that you can use on it. Therefore, as you look at the list, we have 167 sales in neighborhood 30, and we're at 95.03, which is acceptable range with the state of Nebraska. Also, the median, the mean, is the stats in there have to be also. Your PRD, COD has to be within a certain range, too, and they fall into that. If they don't, then they measure our quality of assessment. So if our quality is out of range also, regardless of where our stats are, they say you need to bring that in. There's some equalization problems within that neighborhood or town. So, but we do look at these. You'll see one sale, seven sales and such that we go out and look at them. We try to review all the sales, the outliers, and see what's going on within that sale, whether it's family or something like that. The sales are on a two-year period, so we have to look at the whole 2 years, you know, and so we're starting to go into a trend. Either we're going to go up or we're going down or we're stagnant. Then that's what we do, is try to follow the trend. So, and we're always behind the measurements. So
on here, you got they have some OKs and some checks, and the OKs mean they fall within the range, and the checks mean they're. This is for you guys. I mean,
right.
that neighborhood right now is outside or inside. But then to overcome some of that differential, you can then go back down to the total sales and coordinate it with that.
What has happened in the last few years is we've developed computer systems now that will query way down to what style home is, like, out of range to what year built. You know, like the ranch styles, 80 to maybe a 2000 might be ones that are selling for more than what we've got them valued at. So even though you're in range, if we query within that range, we can still find out if there's some things that are out of whack.
Yeah, and Myron, also we do subclasses within each one of these neighborhoods. We'll say, okay, is there a trend within the subclass or within that neighborhood? And we'll break it down, as Patty's saying, by one stories or two or one and a halfs. And so, and if within that, if we find 10, 15 homes, say on that first one, 22, that are over-assessed, then we can address those and we can say to the state, hey, we did the neighborhood and this is what we've done with that. So.
And that's the key. We have to do all that neighborhood. We can't just pick and choose. We have to do, if we're going to do 30, we have to look at everything in 30. You know, we may only be touching the ranch styles that are built from this period to this period, but we still need, in order to be in compliance, otherwise we're picking and choosing. And then they do scatter graphs, and they can tell, okay, you over here raised all the sold ones to 92% of its market value, or 94. Here's the unsold ones that should be going up the similar over here. So it gets pretty... pretty intense, and so with Daryl's help.
It was pretty confusing to me, where I had four sales, big sales, within my neighborhood across the street from me and one block away. And I mean, like one on the tax rolls at 55,000 and sold for 160. And I mean, you know, this just drives me absolutely crazy. But Daryl has explained to me what the law is, and we just don't have a lot of choice. So.
They will, and Denny, you're right. The state comes in and they'll do a random. They go through your files and they'll check. First of all, they'll pull the sales. They'll look on each side of that sale to say, "Hey, did you treat this neighbors the same as you did the sale?" And if you didn't, percentage-wise, they measure that. And if you didn't, they say your measures are not acceptable, period. And so then we got to redo it, or they'll come in and do it for us, and we don't want that. So I don't, anyway.
I'm just really tickled to have all those new people in our neighborhood and the wonderful families. I have one family right across the street from me that have three little girls that are just my buddies. They have a great grandpa that's not very accountable. But oh, I'm sorry, Leonard. I didn't see you sitting there.
Yes, go ahead. I'll be
okay. I guess I have a question for you guys now, because about a week ago there was an article in the paper. You know, Lincoln's revalued quicker than they should, or were required to, and they've raised it, and there's been a lot of conversation about that. So there's been articles in the paper, and then the last article in the paper was in from, I believe it's Douglas County, Omaha area. They're really complaining up there because of the valuations, and some of it maybe even was a little lower. But the county board up there, and this was quoted in the paper, they decided to pass a 3% cap.
In Douglas or Lancaster?
Douglas.
Oh, okay.
Douglas.
Yeah.
The article
Lancaster's
in the
going through it, too. But
yeah, the assessor's going through it, too, and the assessor argued with him that he couldn't do that and so on. But the county board, and I shouldn't say they passed it. I don't know if they passed it. That has been proposed for sure that they're going to look at.
Is it 3% on
cap
the
on
valuation or is
valuation,
it on the tax rate?
No, they aren't going to raise it no more than 3%.
I don't think they can.
But that was what was in the paper, you know what I mean? So that board is getting enough calls that is one of their things. I don't know, did you read it too, Danny, or
yes,
something?
Absolutely.
And I don't know if they passed that or not, but that was some of their discussions.
Sales, they had increases up over 47%. On average in some of the areas, but then all the complaints, they started looking at the county board and the assessor Badiato, and
yes,
you know, now
Badiato.
They're talking 3%, and I'm not sure if they passed it yet or
I'm not.
I'm not
sure if they passed it. I shouldn't say they passed it, but it was part of the article in the paper that if they didn't pass it, that was one of their thoughts or proposals.
And here's what happened. She's got 17,000 cells because we had a meeting on Friday. She has 17,000 cells in her study. The previous assessor, she claimed, did not raise Douglas County for a number of years. Just in this one instant where Denny's setting at, there's one that went from 120 and sold for 165. So you do the math on what that percentage is of what it sold for compared to what I had it valued at. It would take a pretty huge percentage to get it to the sell price to where I'm in range. You know, so that's 1 year of and you've got about four of them around
right.
You. And stuff is rebounding. But the only thing is, I don't think that will pass in Turk because that...
That's what I think the assessor...
And I kind of got it that the city of Omaha was going to try to keep their tax rate down, which is fine, but the schools is what's going to take the majority of that.
Myron, I live in Lancaster, and I work for Lancaster, and I set up the referee system within Lancaster. Lancaster, with Norm Agnall being the county assessor, they do not go in properties. They do not... They actually don't have boots on the ground. They don't go out and look at them. They're doing strictly on by computers. They send out their notices for valuation, and they're just people are coming in by a lot of them. I tend to stay away. I don't protest. I'm in the business, so I stay away from it. But they don't do, because they have so much to be able to go out and look at all these. Their staff. They can't get to these properties. They don't know really specifically what's going on. Whereas we try to with the board. We go out and look at everything. So,
and one thing with those bigger counties, they have preliminaries going on right now.
They
bigger
do.
Counties send out in January
now, yeah.
So that they can solve that. But another thing, if something sells drastically more, we need to get inside to see what's done.
And we like to. With their permission, we just
Danny,
have to.
Do that kind of answer what
yep.
you had.
Now, any more questions?
Do you want us to review your neighborhood? Is that what you're asking? Oh, okay.
Mine needs to be lowered substantially, but everybody else needs to be raised appropriately.
Unfortunately, you're going to fall in that category now.
I know.
Just those acreages south of the golf course, that's all.
Yeah.
I took a 30-some percent.
He won't let me in.
I took a 30-some percent increase again.
It's because you're building.
In 2 more years, we'll catch up to where it's valued at.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Thank you. Thank you much. Thank you.
Well, I'll just make the comment. that. And again, the state has to deal with this, but on the property that we own in Colorado, my tax is a third of what my tax on my house is. The value on my property there is three times as much. That's what my property is here. But every time I go through the grocery store there, I pay tax on my food.
They
raise it in other ways.
Colorado's figured out how to tax tourism.
Yes. Absolutely. Our state needs to learn how to do that, too.
Yeah. So. Don brought up also that other agriculture product that they grow out there right now.
Yeah.
And dispense.
I didn't bring that up. Don did.
Okay. We will adjourn the Board of Equalization at 8:57 on the clock.